Oh, as I told the kids, King David is approaching the end of his life, and this is the end of our series on King David, starting a new one on the book of Romans next week. So David, when he was younger, really wanted to build a temple for the Lord. But that was not to be. And he knew that it would be one of his sons who would be the king to oversee building a house for worship. But David didn't see why he couldn't give his son Solomon a good head start, you know, on the project. So David gathered the people. There's a big group of people, and he's telling them, look, King Solomon is going to need your support. The task is huge, because this isn't just any house. This is going to be a house for God. It has to be done in a certain way. It has to be wonderful. It's going to be a lot of work. And then David went ahead and told everyone what he had donated to the project. And then the leaders also decided to give to the project, and all the people gathered had opportunity to give as well. We're going to look at the posture of David's giving, kind of the attitude, and learn from that his hopes for us as well when it comes to giving. First, I noticed that he gave abundantly. David's gift, it says, came from both his kingly and personal treasures. And it was extravagant. It was a lot. Large amounts of precious metals and stones to build a house worthy of the Lord God. But collectively, the people gave more than David. Individually, probably not. But when they put all of their gifts together, it was more than the richest and most powerful man among them. Every gift counted, large and small. It was all valued. I got to thinking about one of my favorite thrift stores back in Oberlin, Kansas, where we used to live. They had low prices. Maybe they still do. I would go on quarter day, you know, and you can get and you just fill bags. And each item was a quarter, and that was one of my hobbies. So the owners made regular grants to local organizations, like an after-school program that we were part of once got $500 from them. So they were always giving away money here and there to different organizations, like the local firefighters and all kinds of things. Well, when one of the owners passed away at her funeral, the pastor, and this is maybe 10 years ago now, or more, the pastor shared how much they had given away since they had had this thrift store. And it was about $200,000, which came in as quarters and dollars, and then went back out a couple hundred dollars at a time, or several hundred dollars at a time. But over the years, it added up to hundreds of thousands of dollars given to help the community. And the place is still open, and I believe they still give those gifts, and so they continue that legacy, and it's probably a lot more money that they've given away by now. When we give generously, proportionate to what we have, because God doesn't ask us to give what we don't have, when we pool our resources to do God's work, we can do big things. Most won't be able to give as much as David, now or then. That's okay. We're asked to give generously from what we have. Give abundantly. And give joyfully. This time of giving was all part of a very public gathering and celebration. David went ahead and told them what he gave, and then the leaders showed what they gave. And in verse 9, it says, the people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders. So it's one thing to arrogantly show off our generosity in order to get attention or whatever, but it's another thing to talk about our giving as part of worship and as part of discipleship and following Jesus. When the people were able to see what their king and their leaders gave, they were able to first celebrate and thank God for this display of generosity. And when they collected this special offering, David's prayer focused primarily on praise and thanks. This was a joyful time. I think the giving helped them to worship God, even before the house of worship has even started being built. Worship is happening as they share in this giving. And it was David's generosity that inspired the leaders to give, which in turn inspired everyone to give. So the leaders, King David and all of them, set an example for all to follow by giving publicly, by celebrating giving. So give joyfully and give abundantly and give willingly. This is repeated throughout chapter 29, the willing gift. This idea of free and willing gifts refers to a type of offering in worship of the time that was in response to God's love. It wasn't a gift that was required at a certain time of year or in response to a specific sin, to make atonement for a specific sin. It was free and willing. The people could give what they wanted, when they wanted. It wasn't, there weren't a lot of rules around this. So as we think of God's goodness, then we give in accordance with God's goodness. Verse 14, David prays, everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Sarah Jaffett says David is expressing his utter dependence on God for all of his possessions. He is completely dependent on God. It all belongs to God, and God is the first giver. In the New Testament, it says we love because Christ first loved us. We could say of this story that we give because God first gave to us. All of our giving flows out of God's generosity. Verse 15, David prays, we are foreigners and strangers. Our days on earth are like a shadow. Even powerful King David is so small and so insignificant relatively. His life so short. And it's this posture of humility that positions David and everyone else to be generous. So when we think about God's greatness, when we consider our smallness and give what we can and want to give, the result for them, and in principle today as well, the result is an abundance of materials for building God's house. An abundance of materials for building God's house. So we give joyfully and willingly because God gave first. And finally, give wholeheartedly. I don't even think David's greatest desire for his son and for the people is about money or possessions. David starts to wrap up his prayer in verse 18, praying for the people gathered. He says, keep their hearts loyal to you. Loyal hearts. And verse 19, he prays for Solomon. Give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, statutes, and decrees. And then he adds, and, you know, help him to stay focused on this building project. He does want King Solomon to be focused on the building project and to get it done. It's something David feels really strongly about. But this is really about wholehearted devotion to the Lord. And joyful generosity flows from hearts that are loyal to God. After he described his own offering to the crowd, so this is earlier in the passage, verse 5, David asked everyone gathered, who among you is willing to consecrate yourself to the Lord today? It's a bit surprising because that's priestly language. And rarely do we find that addressed to the general assembly of people. Usually we find that kind of language addressed to the Levites or to those specially tasked and specially called to that role. But no, David asked every single person, who among you is willing to consecrate yourself to the Lord today? And that's really the most important decision that we make today. Are we giving of ourselves to the Lord? Money and possessions is just a part of that. Are we giving all of ourselves to the Lord? So this story does remind us of the importance of being generous with money and the joyful and willing attitude that we can have because God provides for us, because God has given us everything we have. And we can celebrate the results when we work together and pool our resources and do great things for God. But the bigger picture is that God wants all of us. He wants us to give him all that we are. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, help us to lay down our lives at the foot of the cross of Christ, trusting in you to meet all our needs, holding loosely to material blessings and stuff. Give us joy in your presence, and may your church come together in unity to do your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.